Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 16. I'll be teaching on the prevailing church. Amen.
Amen.
I think this is one of those teachings we go back to every year. I think. He said in our work, we are going to set up a prevailing church. I say you will set up a prevailing church.
Amen.
Your cell is a prevailing church.
Amen.
Fellowship is a prevailing church.
Amen.
Glorious House Church is a prevailing church.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Matthew Gospel 16 and verse 13. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In verse 14 says, some said you are John the Baptist. Some said you are Elijah. Others said Jeremiah or some of the other prophets. So it's not new that people have different interpretations of who Jesus is. It's not today. They said you are Elijah. Some said even John. And verse 15, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? So, who do you say that I am? Because what they call me is not as important as what you call me. And I'm going to talk about that much later. How that sometimes you mind your business as a church. In the body of Christ today, everybody wants to talk. And those who have not walked far enough to be able to speak, they are mid-journey and they are talking. A young minister like myself, you're talking. Why not just mind your business? Jesus did not say, explain to me what they said. He said, who do you? After you've heard everything, they say, you. What are you saying in your own quarters? And Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't forget, Judas was here. If I point you the weight of the fact that Judas was in this meeting. One day I will have time to do that. Because these conversations should not make you do that better. Remember right, last night, right? I think we are going to call it the title. It has to have butter. I wanted to say something else, but at some point we talked about trade by butter so much that the title has to be butter so that when you want to search for it, and I still feel strongly I might take it again tonight. Amen. So if you want to hear the part two, pray strongly because I have another teaching. But who knows? We say uneven butter, something like that. But we'll get there. Just save it as butter. And Jesus said, verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. Upon this rock, we've explained the rock is not Peter, even though that appeared like a coincidence. Because Peter means stone. So you'd have thought maybe Peter was the rock. But the rock was what Peter said. The word rock there is foundation. Upon this foundation, I'll build my church. What is the foundation? What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 10 and 11. Jesus is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 10, 3. Verse 10, according to the grace of God that he has given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built upon. But let every man take it that we built, for other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is what? Are you gone? Which is what? Jesus Christ. So, the foundation, our foundation in 1 Corinthians 3, and the word rock in Matthew 16, one and the same. So, Jesus saying, upon this foundation, which is me, Christ the Son of God, upon this foundation, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. But Paul, look at how Paul puts it. He says, I build upon the foundation, another man develops it. So, ministry is about collaboration. I must never see myself, or you must never also see yourself, as the lone player in what Jesus is building. I pastor here, but I am not Glorious House Church. Not in the tiniest bit. Yeah, quite a lot of things go through me, and that's a privilege. But I'll be stupid to think I can do it alone. That would be the height of stupidity. All of you here are contributors to what God is doing here. Give yourself a round of applause. No, give yourself a round of applause. Don't worry. It's not a reward. Give yourself a round of applause. Come on, do that. Shall I latte war? You have this nonsense. Say, I don't want to give myself a reward. Come on. Please stop that. You, one way or the other, have made this church what it is. Let me say it this way. If we remove anybody here, this is not what we have. You might say, I don't even do anything like that too. Even this meeting, they pushed me. Regardless, you see, that small thing you did 3 years ago is the reason why we still are like this. If we remove you, we will not be like this. We might be more. We might be less. But we will not be like this. You get what I'm saying? So we are all contributors. Paul said, it's not just me. There's Apollos. There's Peter. There are a number of things I don't do in this church. Sometimes I just say, give it to Sister Moyo. Give it to Bro Pam. There are some names that are very quick to my mouth. You were there yesterday. I don't know. Let this person take it. Just very quick, because they have a track record of getting the work done. So I'll be ungrateful and also quite stupid to think it's only me it takes to build what God is doing here. We are all stewards of the grace of God here. Are you listening to me? So, back in Matthew 16, he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, this verse 18 now, will not prevail against the church. Now, let me open your eyes to something quickly. I know I taught this, was it last year, when I was teaching about how the church must be audacious. I mean, last year or 2 years ago, that we must be a daring church. And I talked about the Caesarea Philippi. I was a ground of idols. What year was that? 2 years ago. Someone said, in church, you know. Let me tell you what you don't see in this verse. I know some of you are quite didactic, so you have seen it. But permit my ignorance. When we say the gate of hell will not prevail against it, what we see is the gates of hell are approaching the church and they will not win. But gates don't move. When Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail, he is saying the church is the one approaching the gates of hell itself. Are you listening? The church is the one at the gates. And he's saying his church is a prevailing church. It's not hell coming for the church. It's the church going to the gates of hell. Are you listening to me? Any church that is not daring, Glorious House Church workers, listen to me. Any church that is not daring enough, we die. Some years ago, I read the autopsy of a deceased church. I've read it probably over a decade now. I was not even a pastor in here. The autopsy of a deceased church. What's his name? Rain something. I still have the book, but you can go read it. It's a very nice book for anyone who is in ministry. Any church that is running away from challenges will die a natural death. So what does that mean? It means we must brace ourselves for the gates of hell. The entire purpose of the church is to face the gate of hell. To confront hell head on and say, we are a prevailing church. I say we are a prevailing church. You don't believe that? I believe it. Paul explains to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians 6. I thought you opened there. Ephesians 6. Will it happen one day that we'll display Bible on the screen? Maybe. But I have to be sure that we have parishioners who all have their Bibles. There's nothing wrong in it. The entire idea is to encourage you to open your own Bible and not rely on screens. So don't see that as sin. The pastor has changed. I didn't change. Did I? It's just that you have to know the reason why we do what we do. Are you listening to me? Just like when I talk about the issue of tithing, there's nothing wrong in collecting tithe. Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong in eating Holy Communion. You have to just know why we do what we do. So that you don't go and start arguing like an idiot. An idiot is someone who don't know why they are doing what they are doing. They are just... I don't mean that in your next cell meeting now. Hey, my wife, get bread and bread and tasty time. The body of Christ. Body of Christ, 600 naira bread. only 600 naira bread. Body of Christ. You finish the body. One body. Hallelujah. That's what it said. Ephesians 6, are you there now? Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's talking to a church. He didn't say, principalities and powers are wrestling against us. He said, we wrestle. Observe the possessive now. Who is taking the action there? We, the church. Is it getting clearer now? So, because the way you see it most times is, principalities and power, they are just coming for me. I did on my own. I did not touch anybody. I did not hurt anybody. I cannot hurt a fly. Principalities and power, spiritual wickedness, they are coming for me. No, he said, you are the one coming for them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, against rulers of darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to what? But look at verse 11. It says, against the wiles of the devil. Amplified Version calls it against the schemes of the devil. It says schemes. I think Passion Translation, not sure, calls it strategies. Is that Passion Translation or NLT? So one of them. And I've taught from there some years ago on campus. And it says, against the strategies of the devil. So what are the gates of hell? The schemes of the devil. Jesus has built the church. Don't forget, it's the foundation where we all are collaborators upon. All right? Come on. Come on. Am I talking to myself? He said, Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation. We all are what? Collaborators. Co-workers. He says, and we are going to take the building of the church where? To the gates of hell. He said, what does the gate of hell possess? Paul now helps us. Schemes. That means the prevailing church has to be aware of the schemes of the devil. The strategies. You know the easiest person to deceive? The person that thinks they cannot be deceived. The day you just think you are above deception, that's the day you are entering into your deception era. Have you been scammed before? Let me see if you have been scammed before. Bray White, your hand should be up very well. Because I know that one very well. Let me see if you have been scammed. Shola? Last year, January. Put your hands very up. I will not share your scam episode with everyone because it affected me. You are owing me money. Just kidding. Oh, you know the story now. Aha. It is well. I remember when the scam affected me. And I was teaching about hope, joy, and everything in between. You know, some things in life are just too coincidental. It's also as though both God, the devil, principalities, everybody, angels are setting you up. Say, let me see what he would do. Heaven is so boring, they wanted to just see me. So he's teaching hope, joy. What if he loses some millions? And so, the day now happened was the midweek service day. I saw already the title of the teaching game, hope. Hope, joy, and everything. And I was rejoicing and all that. When I was done with service, and I go downstairs, it's almost like my heart was put into half. A part of me was still leaping. A part of me was saying, so, have you been scammed before? Yeah. A friend of mine went to Computer Village to get a phone some years ago when 400 level, 500, and they gave him a bar. No, really, I always hear it in tales by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see. He was so glad, he was so sure he bought an iPhone. So he got to the hostel. We have wined him already. In fact, let me just, he bought us Pepsi to celebrate it from Burawale. Because we only went to Ikeja to buy. So as we saw him like this, he showed us the park. He said, you have to celebrate. That's my classmate. So you know the person. So he said, he bought everybody Pepsi. I think we're about 5-4 there about. Bought us Pepsi. We said, let's test the camera. As we opened the ever. Yeah, the ever was the best thing cooked the very best. Smooth ever. I said, you have just been scammed. And scamming has strategy. Because if the person talks like a scammer, then you can't be scammed. If the person acts like a scammer, then you can't be scammed. You know, the person has to act like an helper. Where are you going? I'm going to... the phone there's the phones are in those places. They are not good, though. They will scam you. Says the scammer. Then he will now take you to his own arranged route. He will even fight someone for you. I say, ever scam any? Don't mind them. These are places where they give you a bar. Let me take you to a known place. These are people there. They sell for all these big companies. And they've all arranged it. While you are transferring money, there has been a batter. Hallelujah. A batter. Uneven one. As you're buying fuel. So when I'm buying fuel and I'm in the filling station now, I don't want to transfer. if you buy fuel for your car, you know what I'm talking about. Don't, that moment where you bend, you cannot transfer like this now. That moment like this, or more, you look up, 7,000. How did you reach 7,000 now? So then we start at 5,000. So I just give you my card. You are the one that will bend your head. Oh, yeah. It's a pin. You will now want to start selling. Don't sell. Wait for me. How do you know I have the money? So I will now press. Don't sell. I'm seeing 0.00 everywhere, liters, amount, zero. Don't sell. Because I bought fuel before, I think was it 35 or 40,000 there. Then I put on the car. Is the fuel invisible? I don't understand. I cannot see the fuel. So since then I say, not anymore. So the devil wants to scam the church. And it's not going to appear like a scam. No scam appears like a scam. So the devil has schemes to bring the church down, but we are a prevailing church. The only way the church can prevail is through the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, you learning something? Don't worry, we're going to break fast very soon. Except you have broken your own fast. Somehow. We had a meeting some years ago. One brother went to Kugari. I can't forget. I can't remember the particular meeting. That was a retreat, Abby. That was a retreat. How do you steal Gari to drink and you are putting milk and granite? That's a planned walk. 1 John 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I also preached unto you, which you have received, where you stand. So, on what do we stand? The gospel. So, if you want to see a church that will stand the test of time, it must be built on the gospel. I told you something in midweek service some weeks ago. I said the gospel is what you preach to unbelievers and what you teach to the church. It says, wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in what? Vain. For I declare unto you what I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Sin of Peter and of the 12. He was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains at the present, and some are falling asleep. Amen. So, we said the church that prevails is the church that wields the gospel well. So don't see the gospel as what we just preach to people who are not saved. It's also what we feed on. The church that can wield the gospel well is the prevailing church. We are a prevailing church. We are going to keep saying it. Huh? I said, we are a prevailing church. So what will be the scheme of the devil? Since the gospel is what makes the church prevail, the greatest disservice to the gospel or the greatest threat to any truth is when it is taught wrongly. So our message must be intact. That's all. So our message is intact. Like I said, the greatest disservice or the greatest threat to any truth is when it is taught wrongly. Why am I asking you to tell someone that what's our message? Because in this same church, I've had someone go preach what was never our message. It's not a story I would like to share. Say, we believe. I don't want to say some things. He was already laughing. So we believe there are many ways to God. What then? Just like market. Many roads lead to the market. Are you okay? It was early days though. Early days. Very early days. About less than a year into church. I said, what did you just tell that person? So then I used to follow people on outreach. You be in front of me. So when you are preaching, I will pass by. Just to hear what you are saying. And she saw. Just to hear what you are saying. And she said, just like, you know, just the way there are many ways to the market. There are many ways to God. So as I was passing, I just said, have you seen that skit? Two guys. They know they sell lamb for them. What she's trying to say, the person was thinking, did you come together? Yes. We must not preach what is not in the word. One of the ways the devil, because the gate of hell cannot in itself prevail over the church. So what will the devil have to do? You will by your own hand ruin the church. But not here. Because we are growing. Ah, I say we are growing. In leaps and bounds in the name of Jesus. Onwards and forwards. Onwards and forwards. You know, we received restoration last night, right? Huh? Put together. Huh? Shaking together. Amen. For 9 years. Huh? Put together. I said the hair will grow again, right? So, because the devil knows by his own self, he cannot prevail. What will he have to do? You will bring it down yourself. So, there will be some tainted truth. The other day, I was going online and I saw a pastor who, again, I'm not against the message of prosperity. Because you cannot want to prosper and be against prosperity. I mean, material prosperity. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, that's not the whole counsel of God. You can't rely on material wealth to as a proof of faith. But somehow, that message has crept into the body. In fact, I heard the pastor say, I know some of you have seen it too, that Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead has no economic value. That Lazarus did not die again. That the two brothers who built the airplane are of more worth to history than Lazarus and the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And he was saying in the church, and they were saying, and they were laughing. And then he was saying, Kilonu, how do you say Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead did not add anything, did not change the stance of IMF? You have taken that one is even prosperity. You have taken it to another. You have entered gate of hell. You have born. In John 11:4, Bible says, when Jesus said that Lazarus had died, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God should be revealed. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Bible says, all that were there believed on his name. I think that's enough. Amen. Atije Atimu Lambaka. We must not allow our message to be corrupted. And it's easy to say, until you are in that shoe. I call during the COVID, a young man reached out to me, and I must have shared the story before. He said he used to be into fraud and that he has repented and he wants to give the money to me. That God said he should give the money to me. I said, Let me ask God, you just repented now. And you have heard God. And he said me. Let me ask God. Was 21 million naira. And God said, don't collect it too. He paid me, die. I was tempted to say, you know what, don't give it to me, give it to the church. Because I know what we could have done with it. And that would have sounded nice, right? It's not me, it's not in my account. I don't have security to the church account. So just give it to the church. It's church. The glory of God prevails. Give it to the prevailing church. And God said, no. You should not give it to the church too. Our God now. You spent the same person work. You got 21 mila. 5 years ago, that would have done a lot. Amen. Or you don't believe it, I love it a lot. If you don't believe it, I love it a lot, donate it. Give it. You will see a lot. And God said, tell him to just give it to orphanages and motherless homes and the poor beggars. They got 21. But I'd never thought in my life I would be so tempted to collect money if I had not started some of my businesses then. So you know what that money would have done for me? Bro, there's nobody I could tell. Because everybody would think you're foolish. Maybe you can ask God for forgiveness. Collect it first. Collect it. Then you not tell God. Son of David, the one that forgave David, the one with the sure message of David, I come to you. I've done 21 days of fasting, 1 day of fasting for 1 million. What am I saying? Sometimes, if you think you are standing, it's because you have not faced the test. It's easier for you to point fingers at immorality because you've not seen your speck. Amen. Yeah, you're laughing. That's when you now know whether you are standing or you are weak. Are you listening to me? We must not taint the truth. So, one of the ways the devil wants to weaken a church is we are going to teach different things. We will not believe the same things. So why Sister Dami is preaching Jesus died for your sins. You are righteous by faith. Last week I was talking to a dear friend. He's pastor in Kaduna. And I was explaining the concept of righteousness from Esau and Jacob. He's an example. Don't go and fly with this. So I said, because the way many people see righteousness is you have done something right. But the righteousness which you have is of faith, not of works. Right? Right? So it means it's not you. It is him. It's the righteousness by faith in Christ. So I said, you know what? Look at Esau and Jacob. For Jacob to get Esau's blessings, listen to this, it can help your understanding of it. For Jacob to get Esau's blessings from Isaac, what will he have to do? He would have to appear as Esau. Right? And so for that to happen, the mother would kill a ram, a lamb, a sheep, anything that's hairy, make a coat out of it, put it on Jacob as a skin. Then Isaac would say, the voice is of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he will still bless him regardless. Because he has put on Esau. So, see that animal that was killed as Christ. And that the moment you put on Christ, regardless even if it's your voice, the Father will look at the sacrifice of Jesus and call you righteous. Is it making sense? Because the hands are the hands of Esau. So, Esau has a good example. Somehow, we put him in a positive light. So, while someone is preaching righteousness by faith, another person is saying, fire awaits you in the same church. That church will die sooner or later. But we are a prevailing church. I said we are a prevailing church. I said, nothing is wrong with tithe. Nothing is wrong with communion. Water baptism. If you want, I can do it for you. Bring pure water. Psst. And I'll say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But go listen to our teachings. Two kinds of baptism. Salvation through faith. I have taught this extensively over the years. I think when I was teaching baptism in 2017, 2018, I think I taught baptism for over 4 or 5 months. For close to 5 months, every Sunday. I was just teaching about water baptism and all that stuff. If you are there, let me see your hands. Wow. So only people in front. Interesting. Many years to come now, I will say, remember when I taught, and then Toby Chiku said, I was there now. That was 30 years ago. Amen. Yeah. We are a prevailing church. Yeah. So we must not taint the message. Are you with me? Another thing that the scheme of the devil that uses against the church at the gates is hatred and strife. I'll talk about the global body of Christ, and I'll talk about our local church. You must be careful that we don't preach a brand of gospel that does not see the good in others. Are you listening to me? We must be careful that we don't preach a brand of gospel that does not see the good things others are doing. As long as they are not part of us, they are not doing well. No. That's strife. Paul said in church in Philippi, he said, I know some preach the gospel, they preach Jesus, they preach Christ out of strife. So it's possible to be preaching without a strife. Some years ago, God told me, he said, ensure you reduce attacking people from your pulpit. That it's not in your own business to reply everyone. So some of you probably see that it does not really concern us like that. Amen. That's one of the ways the devil is fighting the church, the body of Christ now, not local assemblies, the body of Christ. Strife. They have gotten to name calling. They are now factions and camps. Everybody has their own sect. How then do we want to prevail against the gate of hell? At what point? At what point are we going to raise true disciples? Because we are still fighting over, is this saved forever? Is it not saved forever? At least we will both agree that we are saved. Amen. That's a good starting point. We both agree that we are saved. Good. Can we work on the salvation? We both agree that we need to do the right things. The one I say in Save Forever too, agree that you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? The one that I say we are not saved forever, he's saying you have to work out your salvation. You are saying the same thing. Oh, you know, you have not seen that we are saying the same thing. But you see, the schemes of the devil is you are not saying the same thing. My bath is them versus us. And we must win because we are a prevailing church. The church is not meant to prevail over another church. Glorious House Church. We've got no business, because I'm talking to workers now. In prognosing, you are not the prefect, senior prefect of the body of Christ to be marking other people's theology scripts. You got it wrong here. Your Christology is solid, but your pneumatology. Your pneumatology is fine, but your ecclesiology. There's something I see with your ecclesiology there. You are not that smart though. Wait, what are you doing right for you to know what everybody's doing wrong? What exactly are you doing right that all you see is what everybody's doing wrong? We must not resort to name calling under the cover of we are having passionate concerns. I understand that Paul enjoined that you contend for the faith, but you contend for the faith in preaching, not name calling. Are you listening to me? As your pastor, you are not going to see me on social media writing a long post. Now, I'm not saying anyone who's writing the long post is wrong. You see, that's the issue. When people say, I like oranges, the next thing people are saying is, does that mean you hate apple? No. I like oranges. I've not mentioned apple. I said, I don't write. Is that clear?
Will I write in the coming years? I don't know. To buy the ticket, write what they like it. But right now, I don't write. If I, as your pastor, am not writing, kilo unko, a long read. A long read. The didactism of the demon in Mark 5. Firstly, the Pauline epistles, oh God, what are you writing? Is that what we sent you? No. Glorious church, preach the gospel. Reach out to people, whether offline or online. Abi, Baba, share GHC Media. Share the Spotify. Share the YouTube. And go and rest. Nobody's asking you to go and be writing epistles on Facebook or Twitter. If they are abusing the Church of Christ, keep quiet. Amen. See now, I have a duty to defend Pele, Sergio Ramos, William Saliba. You want to defend? Are you with me? Timbari, I will tag you. Write your name and say, I will say, heretic, heretic. Oh! Hallelujah. Unity is strength. We can't be divided as a church. One of the greatest revivals that happened in the scriptures is in Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 were saved. And one of the things we see in that Acts 2 experience is that they were in one accord. Are you there? Say, stay with me. I didn't say stay with me. Gen Z. Say, stay with me. Uh-huh. They were in one accord. The autopsy of a diseased church. I like that phrase. Is that it lacks unity. A church that does not look like a community will die. Cannot prevail. The church must look like a community. I tell a lot of you, you must have friends in church. Now, of course, I know you have friends outside too. But you must have friends in church. I'm not saying by force. Your best lady, your best man must be from Glorious House Church. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I know you have friends that you were friends in Shadow and all of that. But I'm saying your core friends, you must have core friends in your local church. If that's not happening to every one of us, then something fundamental is missing in our prevalence. Are you listening to me? Who are my friends in this church? It's a question that should be asked. People I can talk to, people I can be vulnerable with, people I can pray with, people we laugh together, cry together, gist together, accountable to each other. Say, have you listened to that teaching and all of that? When I was much younger, I'm still very young, I'm 16. But when I was much younger, we used to dare ourselves to sermons. I say, you're not finished your audacity of faith. I finished your audacity of faith. We used to contribute money to buy books because there was really no money then. Funny enough, some of those books were, I recall there was a book that was 120 naira. Oh, well, there's no money to buy it. 120 naira. It was the one that really stressed us was 180 naira. Kenyon, From the Throne to the Cross. I remember because I was not the burden of buying it was on my. I went to promise. I said, you see this book, I'm going to buy it. I will donate 60% of the money. You now remember where 60% will come from. From the Throne to the Cross. Yeah. I remember we bought What Happened in 3 days. We bought the father and his family. I have over 12 Kenyon books. Probably about 15. Some of them were stolen. How do you want to grow spiritually and you are stealing books from me? But it's okay. I forgive you as long as you grow spiritually. Who is that friend to you? Because without unity, we cannot move forward. Hallelujah. So the prevailing church is a church that is also not distracted. Like I said, we cannot afford to be so focused on what other churches are doing. You can learn from people, whether from their good or their bad. When someone makes a mistake and falls into an error, you can learn from it. Like I said, it's better to learn from other people's scars than to sustain an injury. We can learn from it and say,
That church, what happened? But we cannot be focused on it. We also can learn from the good of other people. Because the truth is, there are ministries, young ministries like this, who are doing excellently well. And we can learn from that. But we can't be focused on them. Are you listening to me? You can't be focused on them. There's this church. They built their own studio, music studio, where they were singing. Can we go and build a music studio? So when they build university, what will you do? You now start running around to do what you have not matured to do. Umakparai. Hallelujah. Tell someone besides you, don't kill yourself. The beauty of life is that time and chance happens to them all. When it's your chance, take it. If God gives you the grace for that chance. Are you with me? We are not distracted. So one of the things, one of the schemes of the devil is distractions. Distractions. Distractions among us. Say, hey, Brohwell is marrying soon. Just an example. I didn't want to mention anybody's name so that you don't go and start disturbing me and say, is it true? Let me use Steniola. So they say, Steniola is getting married soon. I say, hey, I didn't hear. You did not hear, but you don't have one single disciple. One. You come to church alone. You go back alone. All the blessings stay with you. You have nobody you're teaching. You have nobody. Nothing. But it's Steniola that is in your mind. We are not distracted. Or are you? Men are gone. Are you? I'm not distracted. I'm part of a prevailing church. Thank you, Jesus. Also, a prevailing church is not satisfied. It's not a satisfied church. One of the greatest enemies of the church is comfort. Where we are so comfortable with everything that is happening. Let me say this. One of the ways you know a church is dying. If the same people maintain the same seats for a year, something's wrong. I'm not talking about the leader's seat and all that. The same set of people maintain the same set of seats for a year. Something is wrong. Or a decade. Some people say a decade. I'm saying a year. There should be more numbers. Are you listening to me? There should be more numbers. We cannot be comfortable. Say, Shadow and Shamin Church, once I just come in and I go out, I don't care. No. We can't be comfortable with that. We say no to mediocrity. I say we say no to mediocrity. A prevailing church is not comfortable. No. They're always striving for more. Always wanting more. Because there is more. There is more. In the nations of the earth, there is more. The kingdom has come. The kingdom of our God has begun. There's a mighty harvest. Supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. Dum, dum. As long as I live, says the Lord, my glory will feed all of the earth. Lift up your heart, the fields are wide, the harvest is here, there is more. So I go for more, so I go for more. In the nations of the earth, I go for more. Yes, Lord. More and more. More and more. I'm not weary. I'm not tired. I go for more. I'm not weary. I'm not tired. I'm not comfortable. You challenge yourself. Next week, Sunday, I want to come with two people. 2 weeks later, I want to come with three people. I'm not even able to disciple them. But I'm sure I get someone who can assist. If we all have that heart and that attitude, you will see the prevalence of the church against the gate of hell. You will see it. Are you with me? Must not be comfortable with numbers. Must not be comfortable where we are. Must not be comfortable with what's happening now. Imagine when we put the first 100 messages on JC Media and we stop and we say, no. Now, over thousands. I'm trusting God by the end of next year, we'll have over 5,000 teachings there. Amen. You know that amen means that I will teach and you hear. So I think one of the things I also do now is places where I teach outside Glorious House Church, I will ensure that the teachings we put on JC Media. We've not done that in the last 5-6 years. I think we only did it once. The one I taught at Foursquare. Is it district headquarters now? But we'll probably be putting it now. Exactly. It's not a promise. I'll think about it. But what I'm saying is, we can't be comfortable. See how we teach things every week. Week in, week out. We are on another teaching. We are on another thing. We taught Jonah before. We went back to Jonah. Because we're not comfortable. How many times have you opened to Matthew 16? How many times have we taught Esau and Jacob? Samson. Every workers meeting. Samson features. Samson and David. Somehow. Because we can't be comfortable and say, we now know the mind of God. No, we keep knowing it. Because we are a prevailing church. Seven things that must not happen to us as a prevailing church. We said the things that must happen to us. We must not be distracted, right? We must be in unity. We must preach the same things, right? We must not allow for hatred and strife. But seven things that must not happen. Worship must not become a performance. Music team must not become a performance. When we stand to minister to God in songs, it must be worship. Don't forget it. We say worship is everything you do for the Lord, right? If you are in facility management, which I think is in two branches now. You have the ones who do the maintenance and the clean. We have the powers. Okay. Yeah, in facility management, what you are doing for the Lord is worship. So some of you tacking all the drapings now. That's worship. Worship is not just solar lensing, Stanu. Worship is everything for the Lord. But I'm saying, let's bring it to the songs now. It must not become a performance. I almost wanted to sing a song that a church sang. Call on Daddy Jimmy. It must not become where we just say, you know, where we are, where everything is about scales and runs, reefs. So I go far, man. Hello, shock here. So, and just say, we will never get there. Yeah. And my friend just say, you know, what we're going to do next is we're going to bring in dancers. So I go far, man. Michael Jackson fools, okay. Yeah, me lo temole. So I go for there is nothing wrong with dance. Amen. There are people who do it out of in good art. But I'm saying if we are now incorporating that because we want people to be more entertained, something is wrong. That's a dying church. But we are not a dying church. We are Glorious House Church, aka as some people say, willing church. Now it's the prevailing church. We are the prevailing church. Another thing that must not happen to the prevailing church: visitors must not just come and then disappear. When God brings people your way, it must become home for them. Listen. You're all workers. Yeah. It's not just for the guest ministry and the first timers ministry to welcome guests. It must be Shengomio. It must be our thing. That the day every time you see a new face, it must be as though you are the one that brought them. Let me give you an example. Come. So let's say this is a new face. I'm seeing church for the first time. Hi, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Sorry, is this your first time? What's your name? Oh, well, wow. Oh, well. Hey, we invited you to church. Star Judith. Wow, wow, wow. I know Star Judith. I know Star Judith very well. Where do you stay? It's all over. Wow, wow. That's nice. That's nice. Hope I'll see you again. All right. My name is Yemi. It's good to see you. If 12 people do that for one person in a day, let me interpret it. His conscience will judge him. 20 people did. It's all right. You know, by Saturday next week, if your friend asks you, which church are you going to? Oh, mom, they were coming. Let me go there. Are you listening to me? It's our collective responsibility. Everyone is looking for a home. A place they can feel at ease. And we must make Glorious House Church that for them. Are you listening to me? They're looking for a place where they can. I love this place. When I go there, I'm at ease. Not just the guest ministries alone. I remember that was the first time I came and I was looking for Stabulu. He said, where is that Sister Bulu? Where is that? He has been calling me. It's one of you that was telling me. Who was telling me that? These people, when you call people and you check on them, they know. They know you care. And I'm not saying fake affection. What talking is right? Hey, bestie, out of from where to where? You are meeting me 5 minutes ago. The bestie. Have that genuine love and care for visitors. We expect more in the coming days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you with me? Yes, have that genuine affection. We must notice them. They must not disappear like that. In fact, you know, Orwell told me that the person who invited him was Sister Judith. If I don't see Orwell the next Sunday, I must go to Sister Judith and say, can I have Orwell's number? I welcomed him last week. I didn't see him in church this week. Hello? Yeah, can you remember me? I was the one that greeted you in church last week. So 20 people greeted me. Which one of them? The one I was asking you, I didn't see you. If 2 people, 3 people now do that again, are you seeing care? Are you seeing how people actually now become committed members of a place? So I commit. Put your right hand up. We are swearing Oto. So I commit to making visitors comfortable and making Glorious House Church home for them. So help me God. Hallelujah. Number 3. If we are going to be a prevailing church, we have to be a giving church. Now when you speak about giving, giving is not just monetary. Giving means your time. Giving means your resource. You might not have money, but you have biscuits for the kids, for the children department. Like that. Biscuits cannot expire like that. Bring it. We have store. We have where we store it. You have Ribena. You have be giving me list now. Cheese balls. Capri-Sun. Who was the person doing that one? How you doing? No, it's a good thing. I want to clap for you. We have now talk. Capri-Sun. Bobo. Finally. Bobo. You don't get Bobo. You have all of those stuff. You are naturally not giving money. Oh, you see, you have given something that is worth it, that will also affect someone's life. It must be a giving church. I've said it before. You have clothes that you are no longer using. Wash them well, dry clean them well. If they can put them inside nylon, you know those nylon that make it look very neat. Fold them properly. Bring it to the welfare department. She's the one in charge. I want her to confirm. There's a way we strategically give it out. Amen. I think you have like Yes, there's inventory. They have like a dashboard for itself. This person collected 3 months ago. Recently. There's literally an inventory for it, a dashboard. When this one has gone out, it'll be marked as gone out. It's that organized. Give something. As I saw you, I want to say, give air. You have wig. Amen. I think I have to be careful with that one. Not wig that. If they open it like this, we'll be sneezing. No, it's not wig. That's a wig wig. Like Uche would say, you wig wig wig. Hallelujah. That's not wig. That's a wig. Yeah, it's gui. But something that, even that big wig, you can go and they clean it now. What do you call it? Revamp. Revamp. Yeah, oh, I love that, but that's okay, Sam's law. Can revamp it. They will clean it where we go on a lab, all the nonsense that is there, they will comb it out and all of that. And the beauty of welfare is what you don't even know who is going to get what you gave. And the person that I was given to does not know who gave it. It's all the church. Amen. That's the beauty. Not that. Yeah, every time you ask the person, you'll be obliged to just kneel down and say, "Eshem, joy." Thank you for the shoe. Next week, thank you for every time you wear the shoe. Thank you for the shoe. The person will say, "Ah, this shoe fits you." It's a giving church. See, let me say this: a church you don't give to, your heart is not there. It's not a It's not a myth. And when we talk about giving, a lot of people, they just tune out. I have never said, God asked me to tell you to give 30 million or 5 million or 1 million or 10 people that want to. I'm not saying those who say it is wrong. But I've not said it before. So, give me the privilege. Hallelujah. Give to your church. When you want to buy food, you separate 3,000 naira, 2,000 naira, 4,000, some people as much as 7,000. What a tokila. But when you want to give offering, 500 naira. Something is wrong. One of the things I learned growing up, my disciple told me, Gotobi, said, you give what you can use to eat. Not snacks. So an amount enough for you to eat. Because what you just did was you ate God's word. I said, what to be me there? Some of you, the 100 naira that you just saw, bottom of the bag, you don't even, as when you got to church, you didn't know the 100 naira was there. You just saw an envelope. You just say, you must be a giving person. Like I said, a church you don't give to, you don't wish well. All you do is take. Paul taught, he says, the one that is taught the word, let him give to the one that teaches. I said it before. Even if your pastor is Dangote, what the Bible instructs is that you are still obliged to meet the needs. I was talking to a pastor recently. And, they are friends. They are friends to me. So I was talking to one of them I know, who is also like one of the leaders. And I said, see how you are making someone treat your pastor because of money. You have that responsibility to take care of those who are indigent among us. Take care of your pastors, take care of the kids, of the church. We have projects, so plenty. We want to get our own camp place. Every year we spend millions just renting facilities. Not even food, not even fumigation and mattress renting, all of those stuff. Just millions, just on. We're thinking if we can put those together, even if it's that camp meeting we'll be holding in Ibadan or Ogun State, I don't mind. Amen. Yesterday, one of us here is telling me, can't we just go to Lagos Ibadan Expressway? The money to clear the bush. But you see, those are things we must aim for. What I'm saying is, at some point in your life, you have to start doing things now. Yesterday I told you, I said, you must not batter your youthfulness. You must not think, oh, we still have time. No, we don't. Now. Remember your creator when? Now. So I'm a giving person. And we're a giving church. Yeah. I want us to give to missionaries. God is placing that strongly in my heart. And I'm talking about specifically the northern part of Nigeria and the Chad, Sudan, you know, those neighboring countries, yeah? I want those to intentionally, even if it's clothes, a few amounts. Some of them have children who need to go to school. Those are projects. And we are a giving church. Oh, the giving church. We are a giving church. One of the things we must not allow to happen, conflict avoidance. What do I call it? Conflict avoidance. What it means is, I'm just trying to avoid conflict. It might look like a good trait, but it's not. Let me show you what it looks like. Prophet did something that hurt me, that I really don't like. So what do I do? I'm in music team. So what do I do? I get to realize that. Just, good afternoon, sir. Anything, just yes, sir. Then I'm telling my friend, I just don't want to have any problem. See, I don't have strength for wala this month. I don't want to have any conflict. Everything you just say, I'll just say yes, sir. That's not a good thing. What the scripture teaches is that if you're hurt and you're offended, you go to the one who has offended you and you tell him his fault. Prophet, can I see you? In fact, you can even say, but we must all walk in the spirit daily, right? can I see you later? Okay. When is later? Sorry, that's the kind of person I am. If you tell me later, if you tell me I'll get back to you, I'll say when. So I give you hints for business. When someone says, I'll get back to you, ask when. You have put them on the spot and they have to give you a date. And they give you a date, you call them on that date. If they don't get back to you, which they will not get back to you. You understand? Hallelujah. So when can we talk? Sunday after service. Okay. Prophet, something happened in the last 2 weeks. I've thought about it and all of that. And I don't know. I would like to get your own perspective on what happened. But from my own perspective, it looked like you were picking on me and you shouted at me. And you don't need to shout at me in our house. It looked like you were just shouting at me and all that. But I don't know. I know I was wrong. If you take a good assessment, maybe I was wrong too. And I should not have said what I said. But I just wanted it to get off my heart, my mind. As a believer that he is too. I say, oh, I didn't know that he ought to. Because I don't think, as a believer, you two are putting someone in your local church, somewhere in one prison in your heart. No. You know, I didn't know you were actually offended. I've been one velora for you. Amen. You see, we have sorted it. Rather than doing conflict avoidance. If I have conflict avoidance with you have conflict avoidance with her, she has conflict avoidance with her, she has conflict avoidance with him, he has conflict avoidance with him, he has conflict avoidance with her. Before you know it, we are a Mormon church. Thank you. Everybody, hey, Pastor just say, greet 5 people to service. You are welcome. Kidede. You're just welcome. Hallelujah. So we don't practice conflict avoidance. We practice forgiveness the Bible way. So I'm a forgiving person. Lastly, play for me as a close. We must not allow room. We must not give room for dishonor. Dishonor of what we do for the Lord. Firstly, don't say, all we do in that church is not just to put chair, to arrange chair. No. What you're doing is worship. Don't call what God has called sacred common. Don't treat it like common. Are you listening to me? Don't say, and so? Treat fellow believers with honor too. If there's something that in your life nobody around you dishonor, it's your church. I'm not saying pick up fights with people. I'm saying it must be so clear. Don't joke. I don't joke with the church. I don't joke. We can use everything to joke and laugh. Not church. Not God's people. Are you listening to me? There must be certain things you stand for in life. One of them must be the things God has put his honor upon. God has put his honor upon his church. He has put his honor upon believers. You are laughing at someone because they don't dress like you do. I was dressing. Let me go there. Are you with me? You put on it. Put on teachings. Put on service days. Once the sonor becomes a norm, that church is dying. But we are not a dying church. We are. I thought I'll be louder than that. We are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are late for service, but then catwalk. You even get downstairs, you even check mirror. The glass. The chewing gum. They bring out lipstick, have a lip gloss. Oh, we're going to marry. I see you. And you are late. You are literally hearing prayer upstairs. Some of you, the way you walk out of auditorium, doing prayer. You see, there's a problem. It's every time prayer starts, that's when you know you want to ease yourself. It's just a bad habit, too. People don't know. Put someone on prayer times. If everybody wants to go and ease themselves during prayer, it's only Bro Pam that will be left. We are praying. Say, I am praying. Everybody has gone to ease themselves. Put someone on it. I don't know how to hold it's a lie. If you are in an examination hall and you are in the embassy and you are the next that they will call for you have booked the appointment. Now, it first took you 3 months to get an appointment, to get a date. Then after you now got the date for an interview, you are the next online in line and P is worrying you. P. Lava. They just see you dancing. Because you can hold it. Amen. He says you have incontinence. That's another thing. And God will heal you. Amen. Don't be moving around. If you are late for service, what I know as proper Christian conduct is if you are late for service, you are running. If you cannot run, don't run. If you cannot run, walk. They have called it medical team for you. Don't run. But if you can, it shows that you have put value on this. There's urgency. Nobody's going to beat you. God is not going to cane you or punish you. No. It's your honor that's talking. You used to see believers with Bibles on and they are running. So where are you going to? Multi-perfect church. What a honor. What a life of honor. But no. Walk out. And you're wearing music team uniform. Imagine first timer. He's also just coming. And he sees you. And he gets to the auditorium and sees that you're part of the music team. Abi, is that not a problem? To reorientate that kind of person, it will take a while. Because there's no second chance for a first impression. That will last in that person's head forever. You get to service, won't judge you, go paka paka paka. Are you from Allen? Is Allen your hometown? Glory. What's glorious about what you are doing? Things that you cannot do in some churches. The church I grew up in. Usher, we grab your hand like this. No, I'm sure they will not tell you anything. Follow me, sir. Follow me. They will take you outside. They will treat you like a publican. You think you have never been to church? I've seen them give someone rapper before. My sister. And they say with joy, beautiful sister. See how you are beautiful. This your lipstick is fine. Which time do you want to tie it? Because this skirt that you wore is dishonorable. I grew up knowing that when you come late to church, you will not be able to enter. If the teaching has started, there's the crowd, what do you call it? Crowd, that stuff, that red stuff that they'll put on pole. You know what I'm talking about. All of us know, so it's good. They'll put it at the entrance. So late comers, all of us know how safe. We just stay there. Till the teaching is done. That's honor. My beret, very soon. Not ready. Once you come late and teaching has started, there was a time we used to lock our remember? We used to lock door. Once teaching has started, we lock door. But only. I said, over my jaw law. Over my jaw job. Let me say it in English. It's looking like military government. So I said, let them believe in it. But it's so distracting. It's too distracting. For your pastor to be saying, can I have less movement? That's not something to say. It's not a good thing. Literally, every time you stand up, I am distracted. See it like that. Every movement, every door opening, closing of door, I'm literally facing it. You're obstructing my line of thought. You'll be no more worry. You just need to. If it's like that, I understand. Children, I understand. You're an adult. You didn't know you needed to ease yourself before service. That's bad. Now, I'm not saying if you are really, really present. Pastor, just so. You'll be sweating like good. I beg, go. But don't make it. Don't make a habit out of it. Is that clear? We put honor on God's church. We put honor on every service. We put honor on other believers. We are honorable. We are a prevailing church. We are a giving people. We are a forgiving people. So help us, God. Can you pray for your church? Pray for your church.